Now it's time to get the latest from the quarterback of the pack, Aaron Rodgers. It's Tuesdays with Aaron. Here's your host, Jason Wilde.
It is the Aaron Rodgers Show. Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. How you doing, buddy?
Well, I think there's been some better Tuesdays than today, for sure.
How are you physically, and how are you emotionally after that game? Because you took a beating on both fronts.
Yeah, I'm pretty sore still. Disappointed, obviously. You know, it's tough to lose like that. Tough to lose at home. One and done situation like that is, you know, it's not a whole lot of fun. But regardless, even the last day of the year, last year, which was after, you know, it was really the Tuesday after the Super Bowl. That's a tough day, as well as this Tuesday, 2 days after our last game of the year. You know, it's tough. It's tough to end a season knowing that's the last time that group's going to be together. We were fortunate enough last year to have the ring ceremony to have most of the guys back together. But, yeah, it was tough. It's tough to end the year. Regardless of how it ends, makes it a little more tough when you lose.
In any way, not that you were expecting it in any way, but did you see any sort of signs during the week, whether it was the emotion of dealing with everything related to Coach Philbin and the death of his son Michael, or in your the quality of your practices, anything that would have indicated to you that you guys were not going to be on top of your game?
No, I didn't see that. I really didn't. I felt like practice was good. I felt sharp. I think you'd ask anybody at practice. We looked pretty sharp on offense. Greg looked great. You know, I felt good about the plan going in. I felt good about, you know, the roles that the other coaches had played and filling in for Joe and his role in the preparation and getting us ready to play. Didn't see anything coming. We just didn't execute and didn't play like ourselves. We dropped too many passes. We turned the ball over four times. You know, it took points directly off the board. There were, you know, if you look at the four drive stretch that kind of put us out of the game, which included, you know, a potential touchdown to Greg with the ball getting knocked out of my hands, and another chance for a touchdown. We ended up just getting a field goal on that next drive. The following drive was. I missed JerMichael on a third down, and we got sacked on fourth down. And the drive after that, you know, we're driving on the 40, and Ryan fumbled. Those four drives, potential for 28 points maximum, but you feel good about maybe 20, and instead you get 3 points, and you give up. I think 10 points out of it. So,
well, those will be the fun plays that we'll ask about in Inside the Helmet. So you got that going for you, which is nice. I am going to ask you about two of your least favorite words. The first one is rust. I think there were people who assumed because you dropped 6 passes, your passer rating is the lowest it was all season. There was a couple of throws that you missed that you probably would have liked to have hit on, the one to Jennings early and then the one you mentioned to Finley. Your guys, you turned the ball over 4 times. Why is that not related to rust?
I don't even know what, you know, the word rust, you know, how far-reaching that that gets thrown on, but you know, that had nothing to do with us playing. You know, the rust only maybe came into play on Wednesday and Thursday's practices. You know, how we looked in those times. We looked great. I mean, you talk to Mike, you talk to Tom, you talk to anybody who was at those practices, and there were comments, I'm sure, during the week about how we looked and how I looked and how the offense looked. And it was a great practice, so that had nothing to do with the game. I think, and I tried to get this portrayed after the game. I think to say that we were rusty is disrespectful to the Giants and their defense and the effort they put out. You know, they played a good game. They beat us. You know, we beat ourselves enough, but with the turnovers and the mistakes and the drops and the poor plays, but they beat us. They played better on Sunday than we did. They executed better. Yeah, I don't think rust played any part in that.
And then the other word, and you are kind of hinting at it by talking about the Giants, recipe, blueprint, formula, whatever it is, they did get pressure on you with their front four, and they did cover pretty well, it seemed. There were times when you had a little bit of time and you pulled the ball back down because there was nowhere to go with it. I mean, did they execute the one defensive approach that really has the best chance to beat you guys?
Well, I think that, I would strongly debate any type of recipe that's designed for just one team. I think in general, if you cover well, you get after the passer well, and you create four turnovers, there's a good chance you're going to win.
Right.
If you look at, you know, some of the mistakes that we made, you know, they directly took points off the board. You know, the chance for seven to Greg, we got zero turnover. The chance, you know, for seven on the next drive, didn't make the play. We get three. You know, a drop on a third down ends a drive and around midfield, that's a chance for points. Missing a throw to Jermichael, that would have got us first down in their territory. Probably points off the board. Fumbling on our own 40, 45, potential to take points off the board. You know, fumbling in our own zone, push points on the board for them. So, again, I don't, it's not a specific recipe for one team. It's if you want to win in this league, and we talked about it with Mike Ayers, who delivers a speech every Thursday for us, about, you know, the way to win playoff games. And it's just like winning regular season games. If you take care of the football and you win the turnover margin, you're going to win 85% of those games.
Well, you were minus three on the turnover margin, and I guess, how does it happen, but it's hard because it seems so out of character for you guys. You lost six fumbles on the year. Three of them were by Randall on return, so your offense lost three fumbles all year, and then in the playoff game, your offense loses three fumbles in one game. I mean, are you just sort of shaking your head? Or are you thinking, geez, it's just not our day because this is not us? You know, who is this offense and what have they done with the Packers?
Yeah, I mean, we just made mistakes we haven't done. Yeah, I hadn't lost a fumble all year.
Right.
That's not one that, you know, it's frustrating that it happened. Was it avoidable? It's kind of that catch-22 when you're trying to. I mean, I was pulling that ball up to throw it to Greg for a touchdown, and it's actually in the motion of throwing when I got the ball knocked out. You know, that was just, you know, when 11 guys don't do what you want, you know, then stuff happens. And I'm one of those 11. You know, I wasn't aware that OC had gotten inside like that quickly. If I was, you know, I was trying to pump Ross on the slant, you know. John ran into Belaga. Belaga ran to John. John hadn't fumbled all year. Ryan has been, in his time with us, one of the most sure-handed guys we got. So those are uncharacteristic plays. And you pair that with a Hail Mary that put us in at halftime down two scores instead of one score when we had the ball coming.
What did that do to you guys going into the locker room?
That was a blow. I mean, I think... I know I'm sure a lot of us have tried to downplay that, but different feeling at halftime going in two scores, going in 20-10, than going in down 13-10, knowing we get the ball and how good we've been on that first drive in the second half.
What do you do with your disappointment afterward? Like, you know, other than the girl on Deadspin who is crying, the drunk girl crying, which was pretty entertaining. I don't know if you got to see that.
No.
That may be worth looking at during the break. But there's a lot of people that didn't play in the game that are just crushed. What do you do with it? Because, you know, you're obviously highly competitive. I'm assuming you thought you had a team that was going to go to the Super Bowl again. And I'm guessing you also watched on Saturday as the Saints basically did the same thing you guys did in terms of turning the ball over a lot. And that, I mean, they almost overcame it. But where do you go with that frustration or disappointment, and how long does it linger?
It's tough. It really is. You know, I think it's something that you have to really rest in those areas. You have to kind of let that sink in and not dismiss it right away. I think you have to really let that sink in, that disappointment, that frustration, those feelings kind of sink in and really just kind of sit with you, because you want to remember this feeling that you have, and and how devastating it is, because, you know, you put so much time and effort and preparation into this, for it to just end so abruptly, is just very difficult to deal with, especially because you care about it so much.
What do you do with what you accomplished in the regular season then? I mean, that, at least right now, that's not any consolation, I'm guessing.
No, it's really not any consolation.
Even a
any immediate consolation. I think maybe, you know, when you look at it a month, a couple months down the line, then that might mean a little more. But, you know, right now, that doesn't mean anything.
What about the fact that you know now what it means to win the Super Bowl? Like, you know, in 2009, it's disappointing to lose the way you did. But you don't really know what you're – I mean, you know what your goal is, but you don't know what you're missing. Today, you know what you're missing sitting in that chair while, you know, Alex Smith is getting ready for the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, it's tough. It really is. You know, that feeling is just incredible to be able to be a part of the Super Bowl and experience everything that comes with it. The excitement of just getting the tickets for your family and friends and getting all that finished the first week and getting to the Super Bowl site. I mean, you just realize how special that is and how, you know, I think you kind of have that feeling after you win one, and this year we're 15-1. Man, we're going back, you know. I can't wait for those feelings of excitement and the whole Super Bowl hoopla, and then it's gone. You know, then the season's over. The season's a disappointment. I think you just realize how special the opportunity is and how I think it's just going to give us that resolve to get back there.
A few more things before we get to halftime. It's funny that you go from being 15-1 to then people talking about how far you are from the Super Bowl. Well, they need an outside linebacker. They need a defensive end. They need a safety. A lot of defensive talk, certainly because of the ranking. How far away, as someone who is on the inside, do you think you guys are from being at Super Bowl 47?
I think, you know, there's always going to be some changeover year to year. And, you know, guys move on, guys retire, guys get signed, guys sign elsewhere. I like our team, though. I like our chances. I think we have a good mix of young talent and veterans who are, you know, playing at a high level. I don't think we're that far away. I felt like this was a Super Bowl team that didn't execute it, you know, at the right time and got beat by a team that was a lot more efficient. That being said, you know, I think we still have room for improvement.
Speaking of guys signing elsewhere, I mean, there's one guy who's really important to you in terms of his friendship who backs you up in Matt Flynn, and then a couple of key components offensively with Scotty Wells and Jermichael Finley. You talked about how this team won't be together the exact same 53 when you come back for training camp or whatever. How do you feel about some of the, you know, uncertainty that you face on offense, especially with those two guys and then Matt most likely departing?
Yeah, I think, you know, thankfully that's not what I get paid to do. So
you've played GM before. You don't want to play again?
You know, I wasn't trying to play GM. I was just trying to voice my strong adoration for James Jones and Mark Tauscher last year and my desire for them to be back with the team. Not sure if that was some of the impetus behind getting James back, but you know, I'm gonna let Ted and his guys take care of that. I do think that that Matt's gonna move on and gave him a handshake on the sideline actually after their last score on Sunday when they made it 37-20. And just said, man, I'm gonna miss you, you know, and I meant it. You know, Matt and I become real close and I'm excited for him and his opportunity. I think, you know, he's played excellent his last two times. And as we've seen by my story where, you know, I played good in 07, they kind of forgot about how I played in 06 and 05. You know, teams remember your latest times on the field. So there's no way you can watch that film against Detroit and not be impressed with the way he plays, his intangibles, the way he throws the football. And then if you talk to Mike or Joe or Tom or myself, not that they need to talk to me, but you hear nothing but good things about him and his leadership style and his potential. So I'm excited about him and hoping he gets a good opportunity.
there's the possibility that you could lose some coaches. We've talked about them several times on the show. Joe Philbin, interviewed in Kansas City, did not get that job, is said to be one of the leading candidates in Miami, and now Tampa Bay wants to interview him. Tampa Bay also wants to interview Tom Clements.
Really?
And then we've talked a little bit about the Oakland situation. Hard to say what Reggie McKenzie's thinking about doing there, but most of the defensive guys have been the names that have been talked about, at least, related to that. Again, are you watching these stories unfold with a combination of,
I really hope
they get it because I really like them and want to see them get the opportunity, and boy, I really hope they don't get it because I don't want them to leave?
You know, a little bit of both. Haven't been together with his staff. That's been kind of the same for the last 6 years. Has been great, and I've loved working with these guys. It's been exciting to to kind of achieve success together and grow from a player-coach relationship, and see them as coaches individually get better. That's been a lot of fun. At the same time, I think you got to be excited for the opportunities that are coming their way. They're very well deserving of them. Tom, I spend every day with, so selfishly I don't want to see him go, but as a close friend, I know he's got the potential to be a head coach, and he's got the makeup and teaching ability and understanding of personalities and how to balance everything. So I'd hate to see him go, but I've really enjoyed our time together. Joe as well. Joe has incredible command of a room. He really cares about relationships and people. He's a great teacher, a great leader. Not sure, with his family situation, how that's going to affect his decision-making, but would hate to see both those guys go, but would be excited for them with any opportunity to get.
Last two things before halftime. One, Donald Driver stood at his locker yesterday and talked a lot about how basically, he expects to be playing for another team next year. He did come through for you in the playoff game. Do you think that you threw your last pass to Donald Driver?
No, I don't. I've been thinking about this and actually haven't had a chance to really talk to him a whole lot, but I think that down the stretch, really the last 7-8 weeks, I thought he played excellent for us. I really do. I felt like with, the more opportunities that he got, he made a lot of plays. I think he did great in his role, which kind of picked up a little more as he got some more opportunities. He made 3 big-time catches in the game on Sunday. I think I saw something that said he wanted to play till 40. I believe he's 35 right
now. He's actually going to be 37 on February 2nd.
Okay, so he's 36 right now.
Correct.
Yeah. I think 40 is achievable, and I believe he's under contract with us for another year.
He's got a $5 million cap number.
Right.
I know you're not the GM or the capologist.
I'm not. I still feel like he has a lot to offer.
And then finally, you don't have the Super Bowl to look forward to, but you do have a couple of other things. Based on the voting for the All-Pro quarterback and my unofficial Twitter poll, you're probably going to be accepting the MVP trophy on February 4th, the day before the Super Bowl. And the Pro Bowl is coming up. Are you going to participate in the Pro Bowl? Will you go to Indianapolis, assuming you win the MVP, and pick it up? Or if you do, are you going to get out of there before the game because you don't want to be there for the game? What's your plan with both the Pro Bowl and the MVP impending?
I will be going to the Pro Bowl. Want to get checked out yesterday to make sure that any injuries I sustained against the Giants wouldn't be risking much in the Pro Bowl. Not that you really get touched a whole lot. I did get sacked by Mario Williams back in the 2010 Pro Bowl after the 2009 season, but you're not taking a whole lot of shots, especially now that Van de Bosch is an NFC guy and not playing for the Titans, coming off that edge really hard. So I will be playing that. The Green Bay staff is going to coach, which made my decision a lot easier and made my injuries hurt a lot less. So it'd be fun to be out there with those guys. And it is. I didn't get to go to Hawaii last time. It was
right.
Actually in Miami /Fort Lauderdale, mostly Fort Lauderdale. So I'm going to do that. As far as MVP stuff, As of right now, I have no plans to be in Indianapolis.
The Pro Bowl, it is kind of, yeah, it's an all-star game, so there isn't a lot of defense. But do you enjoy that? And what, you had injuries? I thought you were, you know, invincible. You, did anything significant that you'd, you know, like to share with those of us who watched you play?
Nothing that I want to really talk a whole lot about, but it, you know, whatever I sustained is not going to keep me out of the Pro Bowl. So,
fair enough. When we return, we'll go inside the helmet. That'll be a lot of fun. Have you ever had a root canal? We'll do that, and we will get to your questions. Ask Aaron. You are listening to the Aaron Rodgers Show. Back for the second half of the Aaron Rodgers Show, Tuesdays with Aaron. I didn't hit you with any Hail Marys before halftime, but I am going to do the Inside the Helmet segment, which should be fun. Let's start with the opening drive. You're moving the ball pretty effectively. I know Jermichael has a drop. And then you've got the third and eight play, and Greg comes open. What did you see there, and what happened?
I saw the
middle. Mad at yourself.
Yeah, I saw the middle just blow wide open, so stepped up. They were playing former man coverage. Step in the pocket as I moved to my right, saw Greg. Yeah, it was one of those balls where it felt good coming out, but I think the wind was going a little bit that way, and Greg was maybe not expecting the ball to be that far over his right shoulder, or I guess his left shoulder and right shoulder from my angle. So, you know, in the end, it looked like a bad pass, and in going back, I probably should have just maybe thrown something more on his body. Instead of kind of trying to lead him a little bit, but you know, tough to miss that in that situation. You want to hit those. Not going to make excuses about it, but you know, definitely probably cost us 4 points potentially.
So you settle for a field goal there, but then you get the touchdown to Kuhn, and it makes it 10-10. Your next three drives, you have the back-to-back drops by James Starks and Krabby to end that drive. Then you have Kuhn's fumble. And then you have the sack at the end of your next drive. They finished with the Hail Mary, so you don't get the double up. I'm sure that last drive you guys had, you thought you could get in and score, put points on the board, come out of halftime. So then they get the Hail Mary. Start of the third quarter, you get the 1st and 10 at the Giants 30, and here comes OCU Manura. Take us through that play.
Yeah, we had something we were kind of setting up there. We wanted to run a little slant and go on Ross on the left side. Guy, we wanted the safety was on the far hash. They were coming down left, actually ended up bringing the free safety off the left side. Ryan went back and adjusted his protection. Did a nice job picking him up. The Will linebacker, the weak side linebacker, was actually kind of tucked inside. I was unaware of the rush. I just came up to pump Ross. It's kind of a three-step pump, reset back, throw, footwork, and had a good feeling pre-snap. So I was kind of looking in the middle, took my three, came up to pump it, and he bought it hard. And Greg ran a great route, and it's coming wide open. I reset. It was just pump, one hand, reset, and went to throw, and then the ball got knocked out of my hands.
So you definitely see, I know, I mean, yeah. He's as open can be.
Yep.
So then the next play this is a tough one, too. All right.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
Yeah. 3rd and 5 on the next drive at the Giants 17, and Greg runs down the left sideline, and it looks like, you know, watching the replay, Antrell Roll is in good position, but the ball does drop into where you want it. What happens on that play, and how big of a play is that to not get the touchdown there?
Well, I believe it's still 20-10 at that point.
Yes.
You know, so to be able to pull within three would have been nice. Had a good play call on. Greg ran a good route. Was looking actually at Jermichael down the middle first. He kind of got held up off the line of scrimmage. It was a man coverage scheme. Felt good about the ball where he was at. From where I was at, it looked like Antrell made a good play. You know, I got I've heard, you know, maybe it might have been catchable, but, you know, we got 3 points out of that. Again, situation where you wish you would have been able on that drive to get seven. Probably would have changed things. Yeah.
Do you watch any of the film of this? I mean, you don't have another game to prepare for, so do you?
I'm gonna watch the film. I kind of want to watch it just so I can have some some finality to this. I actually have never seen the full first play to last play of the Super Bowl, but I kind of can see those images in my sleep. But this one I kind of want to just watch so I can get out of my system.
Get it out of your system, or does it reinforce kind of the fire a little bit for next year?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I'll see this film a number of other times.
Right.
We're playing them next year in the regular season again. So,
last play, third and five at the Giants 39. There's 13 minutes left. And this is a play that a lot of people have talked about because none of us really understand what goes on there. You got JerMichael on a slant. You lead him. The ball's a little bit in front of him. He dives, can't come up with it. And then you end up going for it on fourth down and getting sacked. What happens on those two plays?
Yeah, just not executing. You know, one of those things where we like the play call. We had a combination, Randall and JerMichael on one side, the other three guys running combination routes. I kind of took my eyes to the left at first because I really wanted to come back to the JerMichael Cobb side. And when I came back, you know, we just weren't able to connect. And then fourth down, they actually had a defense that kind of was pretty good for the play we had called. And we got beat and nobody was open.
We also have a lot of Ask Aaron questions. And one, this has to be a record. So if you have not submitted your question for this week, you can keep doing it. We're going to do this via phone. You won't have to sit across from me. I won't be able to bring you your grape soda or coffee. But we will keep doing this, so keep submitting your questions for Ask Aaron. Use the hashtag on Twitter, Ask Aaron. Actually, two questions that were overwhelmingly asked. The first one, as you have to be aware by now, Miss Wisconsin, now Miss America, Laura Kepler, on Saturday night when she introduces herself in the Miss America pageant, says, "If you're watching Aaron Rodgers, call me." A, were you watching because the Patriots game was out of hand by then? And B, have you called her?
I was still watching the Patriots game, but almost immediately I got a bunch of texts about what had just happened, so eventually I clicked over, and actually I clicked over when it was down to the top five and was amazed as it went, you know, four, she's still up there, three, she's still up there, two, she's still up there, like, is she really going to win this thing? And then sure enough, she did. So, I mean, I got to give her a lot of credit for that. That's quite an accomplishment, a whole year of getting to do all that Miss America stuff. Didn't see. I'm guessing that's. I mean, that's why you enter those pageants, right? Is to win and to.
I can't tell you why you entered those pageants. So.
That's exciting for Wisconsin. You know, one bright spot from the weekend. I kind of wanted to hear her vocals. I heard she has a great singing voice. Opera, is that correct?
That's fine. What are you looking at me for? I was watching.
You're supposed to be the little, you know, the expert here in this in all the.
Yeah, I watch Toddlers and Tiaras all the time.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I've not talked to her. But am excited for her.
Congratulations to her. The other question, which was right there neck and neck with the number. I mean, I can't give one person credit for it because so many people asked it. When will you be back on Twitter? The season's over. You say you do it when the season ends.
I'm not sure yet. Maybe today. Maybe after the Super Bowl. Who knows?
Do you miss it? I have to admit, I have some semblance of an addiction to the thing. When you turn it off, I'm sure you still have the app on your iPhone. Do you ever open it up and read it during the season?
I can honestly say from around the beginning of training camp when I stopped tweeting, I have not opened the app one time until now.
Wow.
And that takes a lot of restraint.
I was going to say.
It does, because I really do enjoy Twitter. I enjoy the interaction with the fans. I enjoy reading the funny tweets that come my way. I enjoy the people that I follow. So I am looking forward to getting back on it. I'm interested to see if I've gained a few more followers since the end of the season last year. I'm hoping there's a few more people. I got to kind of find new ways to reinvent myself on Twitter because not sure there's a ton of Jack Handy fans out there. Got to find new ways to be relevant to the 2012 followers.
You at the current count, you are at 478,080 followers, which is roughly half of your buddy Drew Brees. He's really pulled ahead of you in that
big tweeter.
And then you follow 48 people. Can you name which people those are?
No, I can't.
I can tell you one person who you don't follow.
You?
Not that I'm bitter. And so you do enjoy it. The last tweet, by the way, for people who are wondering, came on July 25th. Do you remember what you said?
Something about golf, maybe.
It was very profound. I wish In-N-Out delivered.
Yes. That's a good one to end on.
Double-double animal style, which you advised Paula and I when we were in San Diego.
And you were only mildly impressed.
I was grossed out by that animal style stuff. That's disgusting. How
it's
do you eat that
so
stuff?
Good. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to get back there and get one.
Well, we got a few more serious questions.
Oh, good.
This one comes from Kennedy. The Giants seem to do a good job. You were talking about their defense. The Giants seem to do a good job of taking away big plays in the passing game. What do they do schematically? Because that really was something that you guys have been great at all year, and they did do a good job of making that difficult.
They played on top. Whether they were in two high safeties or one high, they played on top a lot. They played a little bit softer on the corners, were willing to give up some of the underneath stuff. Just didn't really want to get beat over the top.
One other question from the Giants game. Ben asks, if you could redo one play, there are no do-overs, but if you could redo one play from the Giants game, which one would you pick?
One play from the game. Probably the opening drive.
Just the throw to Jennings?
Just maybe taking two more steps to create an angle where I can throw the ball a little bit lower of an angle there.
You think if you get a touchdown there, the dynamic of the game?
It's one of those things. Back in 07, we played them. We kicked off. They had about an 8-minute drive, went down, scored a touchdown. And we were able to eventually respond. This game, over 6-minute drive, go down and get a field goal. It takes some of the life out of the crowd. And you're kind of trying to pump that back in there. And to go up 7-3 would have done that. 3-3 gave it a little bit of life back because we're tied. But 7-3 would have probably been a better energizer there.
Last week you had said you needed noise from the crowd. You needed their best effort. Look, I wasn't in the stands. I'm in the press box. It's a more difficult environment to gauge exactly what the fans do. But it sure sounded to me like there were some boos as you guys left the field after the Hail Mary. Did you hear those?
I did. I was surprised by them.
My personal opinion on that is that that doesn't serve a whole lot of purpose. I don't think it motivates you guys more by booing you. What's your take on booing?
I think at times it is necessary, so I can't fault them. They're paying for their seats. They have the right to say whatever they want. To a point, I think. But I thought the boos, maybe a little bit of a panic too early.
This one comes from Matt. Every offseason you focus on one thing to improve. Last season it was diet. Have you picked out what it's going to be this year?
I haven't, no. I think I'm going to really let this sit in here again, the finality of the season. It takes time to really set in. And once I start focusing on the offseason, which probably won't be until after the Pro Bowl, then I'll really get a chance to really think about a couple things I want to work on.
This one comes from Terry. It was via email, so it's a little while longer. He says, in your quiet moments, do you ever sit and think about how nuts we fans are? We buy stock. We don't complain about outrageous salaries. We believe stuff like Donald Driver should stay because he's our family. We sit in the inclement weather, not to mention paying taxes without complaint to help build the new stadium. Do you wonder sometimes what is wrong with us? Because I do, and yet we'll be back next year cheering for you. I mean, look, you appreciate what the fans do to support you, but are you like that? I mean, do you have an obsession the way Packers fans have an obsession with your team? Do you, you know, whether it's music or a soccer team or whatever it might have, you know, your the Cal Bears, whatever.
Well, I think you have to have an appreciation for the fans and how different it is here. I think that's the one common theme you hear from coaches and players. It's just a special connection between the organization and its players and the organization and its fans and the players. It's different. You know, I think a lot of the young guys maybe don't know about the extra taxes that were paid when the stadium, when they redid the atrium. They probably don't quite understand the you know, this is not the first time there's been a, you know, this, you know, option to buy stocks to raise money for stadium projects. This stuff doesn't happen at other places around the NFL. So I think you have to have a keen appreciation for, you know, the different type of fan that we have here that really is personally invested in the team. So you have to have an appreciation for that and realize how special that is. That being said, I think we all have passions that kind of drive us and that we're excited about. I don't have anything that I think can compare to some of the Packer fans that we have here and the passion they have for our team. But I do get excited about you know, about going to music concerts and playing golf with Michael Jordan.
We did watch the video on Deadspin of your number one fan there. So you've never gotten quite that emotional about the outcome of a sporting event that you weren't playing in?
No, I can't say that I have.
It's nice to know that it's not your fault they lost, right? It's because Megan made her wear the glittery fingernail polish.
Yeah, you know what? I'm a little disappointed. I think it had something to do with she wanted to wear Clay Matthews' jersey or thought that she was encouraged to wear Clay's jersey.
Had she worn yours?
It might have been different. So I guess we can blame it on the
friend.
On the friend?
Yeah, well, the friend. It's all the
now,
friend's
is it the
fault.
Same friend that videoed her? I mean, because that's kind of tough there. She put the wrong sparkly stuff on her nails, and then she videoed her crying.
And that made it onto.
And then put it on.
Yeah, onto the internet. Last two. Vicky, what do you take away from the loss? Is there any silver lining?
No. I don't think there is. You know, they're going to talk about the season that we had years from now, winning 15 games, and, you know, all the team records that we set and individual stuff we did. But they're going to talk about the 2010-11 team that went 10-6 and won four games in the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. A lot more they're going to talk about a team that was 15-1 and kind of had a letdown in the playoffs.
If only you'd had off-season workouts organized.
I know, us and the Saints.
Oh, the last one from Nick, trying to end on a happy note here. What was the best prank you played in the locker room this season? Are you people think you're a prankster. Are you?
Yeah, but I kind of waste all my good ones during training camp over at the dorms.
Okay, so was there a good one in training camp that really stuck out? You've gotten you got Corey Hall a couple of years ago with one, I feel like. There was a good one. No?
But there's always good ones. I think in the past, some of the guys I focused on were John and Corey, John Kuhn and Corey Hall. This year, me and my compadres, well, mostly Brett Good, we kind of picked on Tim a little bit. So, not because he's ginger, but just because he's a little sensitive sometimes, so it kind of makes the jokes a little better. But, no, we had it's a fun locker room, and we like to play pranks on each other. Tim, our punter, he likes to fight back. So, you know, when you kind of mess with his locker a little bit, he's going to kind of get you back worse. So it kind of starts escalating from there. It got to a point where he just didn't really want to play anymore. So you kind of hope he kind of takes it to the next level.
He's going to be a dad soon. You got to you got to take that into account now. That may soften him up.
No, I know. But having a good offseason here where we're all here is going to give us plenty of time to think about some really good offseason pranks.
That was going to be my question. You you told a great story about after the Super Bowl. Kind of you get back to the bus finally, and you get on the bus, and you sit down, and you say, now what?
Yeah.
What about now? Now what?
Well, it's going to be the first year in a couple because of the lockout last year. That's going to feel like a normal off season. So 3 months from yesterday is our first day of official reporting. That changed. That's about a month later than usual because of the new collective bargaining agreement. So that's new. I'm going to be a full-time guy, as I always am in the off-season. I think last year taught me a lot about what kind of shape I want to be in when I get back for the first day of off-season workouts. So I'm going to be working hard to make sure that I'm ready to go when we get back. And we just got to, figure out what pieces we're adding to the puzzle and make sure the ones that are here are dialed in. I like our guys. I like our leadership. I like our direction we're going in. Be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of months with free agency and potential coaches getting new jobs. But I think the future, the immediate and the long-term future for the Green Bay Packers is very bright.
We will talk again a few more times as we go through the Super Bowl. I'll be talking to you from parts unknown, or can you tell us that you're going home?
Parts unknown.
Okay, I know you like to do that. Because we'll have those opportunities, I don't want to ask anything too serious, but you going to be okay? I mean, it is disappointing, and you can tell that while you've, tried to have a little bit of fun with things today, losing, you must hate losing more than, I mean, everybody hates losing, but you must hate it more than most.
Well, it hurts. It really hurts. You put so much into this, time, effort, energy, on the football part and the relationship part and the interaction between between the guys on your team and coaches and making sure this thing looks the right way. And you got it going good. You got a good vibe. And you're feeling good about the way things are going. And then it's over. So it's tough. I have that separation anxiety already setting in. I'm missing my teammates and the coaches. But we look forward to getting back here and trying to put a product on the field that the fans can be proud of.
We will do it again next week from Parts Unknown. You have been listening to the Aaron Rodgers Show.